There was, of course, another incident which happened when I was about 6 or 7, and that was the Bedlam, which is the ship that blew up with this ammunition. I remember it very, very well. My my father worked for the military in a place called Glen Rocky, which is it's a water treatment plant, but it was built underneath the rock up in Europa Point, and he was working there. My uncle was a policeman, and he was in fact on duty next to the dock where the ship blew up. What apparently happened when the explosion happened, I was at school. The teacher, Miss G.I., was actually standing by my desk, looking at my book, marking my book, and the whole window just fell on top of us when the explosion happened. I cried, and I wanted to. My concern was my sister, who was in the same school as me, in St. Joseph, and I just wanted to find her, which eventually I did. And we were taken home by my mother. My mother had run from our home in Kent House to the school to make sure we were all right, took us back home. She then ran all the way to the Glen Rocky to Europa Point to check that my father was all right. He, in fact, had not heard of the explosion because he had been in the tunnels. She then ran to the dockyard to see, but my uncle, who was a policeman, next to the ship virtually, and he was all right because apparently there had been a small explosion and a few people were able to jump underneath one of these iron tables, that your working tables, and that saved their lives. And then she ran from there to Main Street, to George's Lane, to see that my parents, my grandparents were all right, and then she came back to us, and at that point she collapsed. And I remember a Sergeant Warwick, Police Sergeant Warwick, who was our neighbour, kept saying, "You must stay indoors, there's going to be another explosion." And we were all panicking about this. And of course, that explosion, the second explosion, never happened. But
do you think people thought it was some sort of an attack?
Well, yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, it was so soon after the war as well. And I mean, there was total devastation. I mean, there were parts of this ship blew over the rock, like over to the Cattenham Bay side, so it was a huge incident, and there was no home that would have got away without suffering some kind of damage. And the next morning, while the clearing up was going on, again walking to the school, we had this big, like sort of cannonballs that were all over the place. But I mean, obviously they were part of bombs after they had exploded, and we found a lot of them on the way to school as kids. We were sort of picking them up, and of course we were told not to because the clearing up had to be done, and obviously they weren't investigating exactly. So all this was evidence that we were not allowed to touch. So that's the early recollection. I mean, I remember, again, I said, very much a garrison town, and how the Americans and the military were everywhere, and particularly the Americans used to come into Gibraltar a lot. And I remember we used to have in my grandmother's house, and I keep mentioning my grandmother's house because we lived there most of the time during the day. They would share a lavatory with another neighbour, so there'd be one between two. And I remember one morning coming out of the house to go to the lavatory, and I opened the door, and to my horror, there was an American sailor asleep in this toilet. And you know, I obviously shouted and panicked and woke him up, and he's going, "Shh, it's all right." And he slung a $1 bill at me, you know. So that was funny. And then it disappeared. You know, he obviously got in there drunk and fell asleep in the toilet drunk, and you know, So I suppose giving me a dollar was a way of saying sorry.
Yeah.
But
I just wanted to ask you, I mean, it's a bit of a retrospective question because you wouldn't have thought that at the time because you were so young, but obviously what happened in the evacuation must have changed the sort of dynamics of family life in Gibraltar because people came back and they'd seen so much of the world.
Well, I think if it changed, I mean, I said I was too young, but if it changed, it was for what we as Gibraltarians consider it to be for the better. It brought the community closer together. And hence this reason that Gibraltar politics emerged from this period, because it was a period where the repatriation was taking a long time. There was rumours, that all kinds of rumours going around that they might not be taken back to Gibraltar, that they would be taken back to London or whatever. And that's when the politics of Gibraltar really started. The AACR, the Association of Advancement of Civil Liberty Party, headed by Sir Joshua Hassan, that's when it started, and the idea was to pressurise the British government to bring the Gibraltarians back to their homes in Gibraltar.
And if I may intervene, it happened exactly at the same time as End of Empire started happening, so
yeah.
It was exactly the same time as the colony started to transfer to a British overseas
that's
area,
right.
Self-governing
yeah.
British overseas
yeah.
area.
Yeah. That's so right. That's right. That's absolutely right. And you know, that was our home. I mean, you know, British we are, British we stay, but it is our home, and London was not going to be our home, you know. We wanted to go back there, and we wanted to build our lives, which we have, and we did very successfully. So it's a very dramatic time, but I mean, I think the evacuation did bring the communities together. And you know, Gibraltar is a model for community spirit and for accepting each other's beliefs. I mean, the way that religion respect one another, if we could export that to the outside world, would be wonderful. I remember early on, because I come from I'm half Jewish, but I remember the Jewish boys coming out of the synagogue on a Saturday, and they would go to the bars, you know, talking about teenagers, and they would have a drink or whatever. They would never pay because they were not allowed to handle money on a Saturday, and that would be okay with the bar, you know, okay, you come back and pay whenever, and they would come the next day. I remember another vivid memory as a youngster. In Gibraltar, everybody seemed to have had maids in those days, and of course they were mainly Spanish maids. And I remember seeing these maids running down Main Street with saucepans. You know, and of course, what it was is because the Jewish families were not allowed to cook on a Saturday, they would prepare their meal. Which it's now become my speciality. It's called chulant, and it's a special Jewish meal which is prepared on the Friday before the Sabbath comes in, and they would take it to the local baker, Jewish baker, in Macintosh Square, or what is now called the Piazza, and they would go into the ovens on a Friday evening, and this meal would cook all overnight, and about lunchtime Saturday, when they would come out of the synagogue and they were having their main meal, the maids would go and pick their hot pots from this bakery and run back to the house to make sure the food was not cool, that it was still hot when they served it. And
it's really interesting because when I was in Gibraltar, I noticed the Jewish bakeries and you know all that going on still. You know, it's very very noticeable, but very mixed society there.
A very mixed society, but yes, you know, I mean, I'm wondering now that you mentioned that whether the Jewish bakery are still doing the catering.
Still, they do
like
that right at the end of Main Street on the left.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same one, same family that used to be the one that I've talked to you about in the Piazza or the Macintosh Square, as it was called.
So is the other half of you Catholic?
Yeah, very much so.
So which do you feel you are?
Well, I mean, it's been a bit of a it's been a bit of a conflict in my mind, particularly as one gets older. You know, I am Catholic. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm baptized and confirmed Catholic, but I have an affinity to the Jewish faith because of I went to a Jewish school, the Hebrew school in Gibraltar, which was considered to be one of the best schools at the time in Gibraltar. I was excluded from the Jewish education because I was a Catholic. But I had this affinity, A, because of my parents, my mother, and her family, who were very, very much into the religion. My aunt, who my mother's sister, remained in London after the war. She was obviously evacuated. She became the matron of a Jewish home here in London, and with her husband. And of course, that brought us closer to that religion, because my grandparents, when they retired in Gibraltar, they came and lived in London, in that Jewish home in East London. And the home, naturally being a Jewish home for the elderly, was run very much along the faith. And we were, you know, I have memories of being there for the Jewish festival, which was always a feast. There was always be a feast to end the day, but I was always excluded when it came to the prayer part. So, you know, we would find my father, my sister and I would be sitting outside while they had their prayers, but then we would be asked to come and join for the feast. And but you know, this is how we grew up. But I feel very much a Catholic. I mean, yeah, that's what my faith is, and that's what I am.
Thank you. That's very interesting.
Even though Wikipedia has put me down for some reason as Jewish, but.